אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. The IDF announced yesterday the deaths of 6 more soldiers killed during the fighting in the Gaza Strip, bringing the death toll in the ground offensive against Hamas to 57. Rocket fire from Gaza and from Lebanon has continued throughout the week. Due to the successes of the IDF ground incursion, the intensity of rocket fire from Gaza has diminished, but both on Friday and Shabbat, sirens were sounded in the Tel Aviv area. Rockets continue to hit the area bordering Gaza, and another house was destroyed in the evacuated city of Sderot. The number of attacks from Hezbollah in the north has intensified, as has the IDF's airstrike response. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry claims that 11,500 people have been killed in Gaza since the start of the war, including at least 4,700 children and 3,000 women. The figures cannot be independently verified and do not distinguish between civilians and terrorists. They also do not differentiate between those killed by Israeli airstrikes or by failed Palestinian rocket launches. According to the current assessment of Israel's security establishment, the damage to the Gaza Strip caused by the fighting will take 5 years to repair. The estimated cost of the damage caused in Israel on one day, the 7th of October, is at least 3 billion shekels. Some 20 communities were destroyed, most burnt to the ground, including homes, infrastructures, roads, barns, and agricultural fields. The ongoing cost of the war is about 2.3 billion shekel a week. Bahrain's Crown Prince and Prime Minister Salman bin Hamad Al Khalifa on Friday described as intolerable the situation in Gaza and called on Hamas to immediately release the 239 hostages being held in the enclave. He said, "I don't think any Arab leader has called on Hamas to do this, so it's time for straight talking." He proposed that Israel release the non-combatant female and teenage prisoners currently in its jails in exchange for the hostages in Gaza. Khalifa said that the role of the US is indispensable in reaching a solution after the war. Supporting Khalifa, Brett McGurk, President Biden's main advisor on the Middle East, speaking in Bahrain yesterday, said that there will only be a significant pause in the Israeli-Hamas war if hostages held by Hamas and other terror groups in Gaza are freed. He promised that the release of large numbers of hostages would result in a significant pause and a massive surge of humanitarian relief. During Thursday night's war cabinet meeting, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu phoned US President Joe Biden and urged him to pressure Qatar's Emir Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani to expand the number of hostages included in the deal currently being negotiated by Doha between Israel and Hamas. It is believed that the proposed number is 50, but this does not cover the number of children and elderly being held. Hamas has published a video apparently showing 86-year-old Aryeh Zalmonovich, one of the hostages being held in Gaza. The footage raises concerns regarding his well-being. Israeli media does not publish footage released by terrorist groups out of respect for the families of the abducted and doesn't want to participate in the psychological warfare being employed by Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Zalmanovich was taken hostage from kibbutz near Oz on October 7th and has not been heard from since. Before being kidnapped, he managed to text one of his sons informing him that terrorists had infiltrated the kibbutz. He's one of the founding members of Near Oz, bordering Gaza, working as a farmer there for decades. Some of the families of the hostages who left Tel Aviv on Tuesday by foot arrived in Jerusalem on Friday and held a Kabbalat Shabbat service in front of the Knesset. The majority arrived yesterday. German ambassador to Israel, Stefan Seibert, joined the marchers near Latrun on Friday and called for the unconditional release of all captives. Thousands of people were at the rally with the families outside the Prime Minister's office in Jerusalem yesterday, demanding Israel do everything it can to bring 239 hostages home immediately. Oren, the mother of Ed and Zacharia, who's being held hostage, said, "We've been walking for 5 days without stopping. My legs hurt, my shoulders and everything hurts, but nothing hurts like my heart does, which really hurts. Even if we need to walk to Gaza, we will walk to Gaza. Whatever we need to do, we will do. We won't give up on our children." National Security Council Chairman Tsachi Hanegbi announced the War Cabinet Agreement on Thursday night to a special request from the US to allow 2 trucks of fuel into Gaza each day to operate the Strip's sewage system, which is on the verge of collapse. Hanegbi said the collapse of the system would have risked the massive spread of disease in Gaza, which would impact both the Palestinian civilians in the enclave and the thousands of Israeli troops operating there. He explained that the IDF would not be able to continue operating amid dire humanitarian crisis and that the international outcry would reach new heights. The amount of fuel amounts to 2 to 4% of what normally would have gone in daily before the war. Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich called the decision illegal as it goes against earlier cabinet policy set by the broader security cabinet, but the war cabinet can override. In addition to the truckloads of aid entering through Egypt, the IDF transferred over 6,000 litres of water and over 2,300 kilos of food to Shifa Hospital. This was done in parallel with the IDF activities to locate and thwart terrorism in the hospital. Israel this week entered Shifa Hospital, the largest in Gaza, after finding evidence that it was over Hamas's most important tunnel network. Hamas operatives fled before the IDF arrived, probably using the safe passage exits that the IDF prepared for civilians. They left behind some weapons and computers showing plans for the 7th of October invasion. There was also evidence that hostages had been held in the hospital. The body of murdered hostage, Noah Marciano, was found nearby. The IDF is also entering other hospitals used by Hamas as military bases as its ground offensive moves south. The IDF suspended a soldier who threw a stun grenade into a mosque in the Palestinian village of Burdus near Ramallah while an imam inside began making the call to prayer on Friday. His action added to the tension between Israeli Jews and Palestinians at this sensitive time. There have been at least 244 incidents of settlers assaulting Palestinians or vandalizing their property since October 7th. Earlier this week, 22-year-old Amitzur Ben Yosef was put in administrative detention for 4 months on suspicion of posing a threat to either state security or public security. He's the second radical settler activist to be jailed since October 7th. The Health Ministry has asked the deans of Israel's medical schools to prepare to integrate Israelis studying medicine abroad who were called up for military duty during the war. It is estimated that some 200 such medical students are at risk of falling behind in their programs because their academic years abroad are already underway. The start of the year in Israel's institutions of higher learning has been delayed until at least late December. The ministry has offered to help the universities make adjustments to accommodate these students and to work with hospitals to arrange all necessary clinical placements for them. Health Ministry Director General Moshe Bar Zimantov said the country has a moral duty towards medical students who received and responded to military call-ups and that integrating them into Israeli medical schools will be part of an ongoing effort to increase the places in the country's university for those wishing to pursue medical studies. On Monday, it was discovered that Vivian Silva, a founding member of Women Wage Peace, had been murdered on October the 7th. Until that time, for nearly 6 weeks, it was believed that she was a hostage in Gaza. On Thursday, a special ceremony was held, instead of a funeral, to honor Vivian at Kibbutz Gezer, where she had first come after making Aliyah from Canada. She will be deeply missed by all. This is Peter Jones Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.